Mark Shapiro, President and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And Mark, before we ask you the business questions, you come from a baseball family. Your dad, Ron, longtime player agent. What was opening day like at the Shapiro household?
I think, you know, opening day was our family celebration that, you know, the common
opener,
love.
So.
Yeah, the home opener for the Baltimore Orioles. It was a day that, you know, they were always day games. It was a day where all four siblings were pulled out of school early. So that was always like, you know, that was a good thing in and of itself. And it was the beginning of kind of renewing our bond around, our family bond around baseball. You know, more maybe my dad and I. But, you know, we had those season tickets my entire life. Third base, started out watching Brooks Robinson play third base.
Oh, that's okay.
And then just growing up, you know, watching baseball. And it was a special day for us and a special time of year. And, you know, it's a big part of, you know, that bond around family and baseball is a big part of why I'm in the game today.
So I've never heard you grew up watching Brooks Robinson right in front of you every day.
It was an amazing thing. So we grew up, you know, I was just fans, and my dad got those seats to watch Brooksy. And then Brooks got into bankruptcy trouble because he signed a sporting good deal, and the owner of the Orioles asked my dad to help Brooks out because my dad was a young securities lawyer. And Brooks, you know, asked my dad to negotiate his last contract, and that was how my dad got into it. And then by 1979, my dad, I think, had, or 83, had like 21 of 25 Orioles when they won the World Series. They gave my dad a ring, and he went on the Japan tour. It seemed pretty incredible. So the guys I ended up hanging over the rail trying to get autographs from became the guys that were over our house for dinner. Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer, you know, those guys.
So if you guys win the World Series this year, which agents are you giving a ring to?
None. Times have changed.
I can guess one or two you won't be giving a ring to.
I know one.
you tweaked me to something, and I know from a business perspective that what's needed. But do you miss day baseball? Day baseball is so much fun.
I mean, we play. We're one of the only two teams in Major League Baseball that play Saturday day baseball. And I miss day openers a little bit. It's kind of still a weird rhythm for me. Last year, the night opener felt like I was waiting forever to play because it's a day you have so much anticipation of. I think you're balancing television a lot now, which is why
the business side. I understand,
which is why the night gets into it, but. There's something for everybody, but you need to have some day games for kids to be able to see the game and families.
So a year ago, I think it's fair to say things were a lot different for you than they are today. There was so many questions going the last season, the exit of Alex Anthopoulos, all the questions about you, what was going on at the ball club. How do you feel different for this home opener compared to last year?
Yeah, on a personal level, I think it's, it's home. You know, now, and a year ago, my family was still living in Cleveland. They hadn't moved yet. They moved in August. I was traveling back and forth all winter long. A lot of anticipation, a lot of new faces. Everything was really new for the first time. You know, I sat down and talked to Ross after about a week of spring training and was like, does it feel different to you? He was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, we're just no more people, more comfortable in the setting and the environment. And maybe more than anything, it just feels like home, you know. And a year ago, it was still new.
Actually, the last time I saw you in person was at the World Cup. And you were sporting your Canada sweater.
Absolutely,
at the Air Canada Center. You and your son at center ice enjoying the game.
Absolutely,
You've bonded and become a Canadian on us.
No question. I am very happy and proud for both political and personal reasons to be here.
There's a lot of that going around.
I threw that one in.
I know.
And I have many friends and family who are very jealous.
Just leave it at that.
Yes.
That's right. We should avoid that in conversation with Mark Shapiro on Primetime Sports. We were talking a little bit before the show. We had Kevin Barker here, and we were trying to put the 1-5 start in context, bearing in mind that it is early. And I kind of made the comment that I looked at this team and I thought, you know what? It's the oldest team in baseball. The 1-5 start doesn't worry me because they got all that experience. They're going to bounce back. And then I thought, you know what? It's the oldest team in baseball. At some point, I might be worried whether or not 1-5 is 1-5.
Yeah.
How do you view the balance there?
Well, I think your inner conversation is the nature of any front office executive, because half of you worries all the time. Even when things, if you're 5-1, you're worried about what might go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 1-5, you say, hey, listen, I went through this 25 different times, and usually if you made decisions for the right reasons, which are track record of players, character of players, the competitiveness of those guys, because we got a lot of guys that are extremely competitive and want to win, that if you're patient, if you believe in, you know, what the reasons why you put this team together, that it will pay off. And if you really look through all these games, up until Sunday, I was feeling like, hey, we're in every game. We're going to start winning some of these games. There's no question. We just need a couple things to start coming together for us to win these games. But you're right. I mean, you also sit there and think, you know, it's the problem we've been dancing around for 2 years, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you don't want a team to get, you know, past its prime all at once. You'd like to manage a roster. The situation is what the situation is. We've got some of the best players in the game. You know, we're finding some ways to get some youth engaged, particularly on the starting pitching, obviously. And it's something as we move forward, you know, we have to be conscious of. But I guess I still feel like this team has great baseball, maybe its best baseball, left to be played.
I guess in a macro sense, you're trying to win at the major league level.
Absolutely.
Look at the ball club, and you can tell that's what you're trying to do. But it's been a lot talked about. You're trying to replenish the farm
yeah.
system. You're trying to get – so you're got –
It's kind of a dual goals right now.
Right. Where are you in that process?
We're better than we were a year ago. And that's
– How much better than we were?
I think a lot better. I mean, you know, you're – the only way to really get better is to make really tough trades or lose enough to pick on the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done either one of those things. Despite that, Ross was able to add two good prospects, you know, and Harold Ramirez and Reese McGuire at the trade deadline, even though we were adding last year in the Francisco Liriano trade. We signed Lourdes Gurriel, you know, who was really impressive with his bat in spring training. So we added those three guys and had a draft that brought Bo Bichette, TJ Zoik, and Josh Palacios and others into a system that already had Vladimir Guerrero and some other talent. So we are getting better. We are also working hard on the culture at the minor league level that would link development to, you know, scouting, to the building a major league team and trying to get every competitive advantage possible, which is 1,000 little things, not one big thing. But we need to execute on that, Damian, year after year after year.
Right.
And we need to be at a point where we're not talking about 3, 4, 5 prospects. We're talking about 25 prospects and where guys are, because I've been here before, you know, with those mid-90s Indians teams and even in the, you know, mid-2005, 2007. We need to have players at AA who deserve to go to AAA, but there's no opportunity at AAA because there's no opportunity at the big league level, and you're backing prospects up. When you're in that situation and then you're still committing to a couple young guys each year at the major league level, you know you're at a point where, okay, now, you know, we're going to be in good shape.
That's going to take a while.
It's going to – you can't – there is no – artificial way to start that, except if you're trading. And since we want to win here, we're not going to do that.
Right. Mark, it's been, I'm going to say, well, at least 3 years where this team has gotten off to a slower start. It hasn't had great Aprils. It's gone to the ALCS twice. John Gibbons mentioned a little bit yesterday that, you know, I think in the past people would talk about maybe guys need to get more at-bats in the spring, and he'd go, nah, nah, nah. Now he seemed to think, you know, boy, after all these slow starts, maybe there is something to that. This organization invests and has invested a lot in high performance and sports technology, sports science, I'm sorry. How much of an impact does that have on how your spring training is set up? And is that something that you can see evolving? You know, because at one point, guys used to have 100 at-bats in spring.
Yeah.
Now, I think Howie Kendrick had 76 at-bats this year and led the majors.
Right. It was Sam Longoria, I think, had 80.
Longoria,
I would say this to you, that it probably could be impacted, you know, by high performance. This year, that wasn't an option.
Sure.
You know, I think and this year was a tough year because even if we had wanted to do it, we didn't have our team in the field much of spring training. We had two guys rehabbing, you know, in Devin Travis and in Steve Pierce. We had JD who got hurt the first week, and then he was rehabbing. So we had three of our everyday guys who weren't on the field with the other guys. The other guys, we were balancing, you know, playing time with their age and trying to make sure they stayed fresh and what was the right amount to get them ready. I know in Cleveland we had studied because there, you know, are there teams who uniformly get off to good mm-hmm. starts? Almost no teams were. Under Tony La Russa, the St. Louis Cardinals probably were the most consistent in getting off to a good start. So we went, we talked to Tony, we asked Tony, what do you do? You know, his theory was you play the everyday guys a lot. The first 10 games, they play almost not at all. The middle 10 and the last 10, I play them like they're regular season games. I have guys down in the bullpen. We play the games. We didn't even have that option this year. Right. But there are different theories about, you know, what it takes. And I guess what I'd say is we're going to always be thoughtful and always utilize all the resources to think about how we can get off to a better start. Everybody wants to do it. Nobody does it consistently, though.
Because I would think it's sometimes, you know, the natural tendency would be to listen to the player. You know, what do you need to do to get ready? But on the other hand, sometimes you got to go, you know, maybe you don't listen to the player. Maybe we've got data here. We've got objective data that suggests this is actually better.
I think that one would be like every decision, that you want to involve the player in the process. You want to make sure the player's armed with all the information, not just his own gut feel. Mm-hmm. Maybe challenge him a little bit, but hopefully work with him to arrive at the best situation, much like I feel like we're going to make all the decisions that are in the best interest of the players. And I think sometimes that gets lost, that, you know, we're trying to make the best decisions for the player, you know, because the best decision for the player is the best decision for the team.
Right. When you talked about the balancing act, the farm team versus the big club, Did you pay enough, and I don't want to be cheeky about this, but did you pay enough attention to the big club this year when trying to help rebuild the farm system? I know that when you think about the Morales acquisition and Pierce, but did you spend enough time on this club to get them back to the point where you think you can still contend for the American League?
Well, it's not for time. I mean, the only thing that we lack in time is hours in the day, okay. You know, but and we've got a robust staff, and you know, we've got Ben Charrington focused singularly just on the player development system, and Gil Kim. And so we've got plenty of people focusing on player development. I'm just more philosophically giving you, you know, this is kind of our, as we think about the organization, we have a duality of goals right now. One is to maximize the window that we're in and win here, always recognizing that the single largest lever of our, you know, of everything we do is winning up here. So that's the most important thing. But I think as important is to build a sustainable championship organization. And to build a sustainable championship organization, it takes a healthy, productive farm system. So we're trying to do both. And they're not mutually exclusive. You can do both. Like I said, unfortunately, you can't, you know, replenish talent, you know, rapidly unless you either lose a ton, mm-hmm. you know, and tank like some teams do, which we're definitely not going to do, or you're you know, trading players, which we have no intent to do. So, yeah, I think we with the resources provided, the payroll that we have, knowing we had to make some tough decisions because of a veteran team with a lot of free agents, I feel like we added players who are going to make an impact and continue to build around the core that we've got.
A big part when a new executive takes over any team in any sport is to build that sense of trust with mm-hmm. the fans, that they believe in you. Do you think you're there yet, or do you think they're getting still to know you?
I don't spend a lot of energy thinking about that. I think the most important thing is to be honest, to be consistent, and then ultimately just produce. You know, I think
they'll like you if you win.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can say that is going to endear people to you. I am who I am. You know, I'm going to be extremely consistent in the way I communicate. I care deeply. I wake up every day. Besides my family, the only thing I'm thinking about is how the Blue Jays organization can get better on and off the field. Obsessing about all the controllables that we can control. And until we've controlled every controllable, which I don't think we'll ever end up doing.
Good luck with that.
You know, I'm not going to rest. and I guess if I'm a fan, I want to know that the people that are running the organization think that much about it and care that much. And everything we're doing ultimately is for the fans, right, to see them celebrate.
Sure. Mark, can you give us a little bit of an update on Josh Donaldson? We were in the air when John Gibbons held his media session. He's not in the lineup today.
Yeah.
Apparently, John did say, and this is second hand, that he is available to pinch hit. What is the status of Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, he's day-to-day. I mean, there's really not much more to be said than that.
It's a different part of the calf, though, right?
It's a different part of the calf, and it's one of those things that you need to be careful. I think when we were talking earlier, one of the people in the room said, you know, if it wasn't opening day, if we didn't care so much right. about the one win and where we are, we wouldn't even be having the conversation. We wouldn't even have been debating it. We would have just said he's not playing tonight. So the best decision for him, which is for us as well, is for him not to play tonight, to try to make sure that we get him back, you know, as soon as we can. And he's a tough guy. I mean, he wants to play all the time. So it's not something he accepts easily, especially in a situation like this where he recognizes the energy and the magnitude of what we're going to be feeling from the fans here. But, you know, it's a season of 162 games, and, you know, you've got to be able to win that marathon. And for us to do that, obviously, we need him, you know, on the field.
moving away from the Jays, we'll talk about baseball as a whole.
Are we going to talk about hockey right now?
No, would you like to?
You want to?
Listen, we can.
It will be a short conversation with me.
No, I want to talk about the length of the games. I sat down on Friday night. I had a beer. I was going to say I had pizza. I had one beer.
Had two beers.
And 4 hours later, the game wasn't over.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that the commissioner has talked about the length of games, and you're on those committees.
Yeah.
Where are we? What's going to happen, and how quickly can this change?
Well, the one thing I would say under Commissioner Manfred is that there's been an openness to looking at everything that I felt like, you know, maybe in the past we've felt like certain topics were, you know, too sacred to even examine. We're going through a thoughtful process of examining all the different levers that could exist for more pace of action than pace of game. Mm-hmm. So if
what do you mean?
The length of the game in general, just how long the games last. I mean, that's one of the beauties of baseball. It's 27 outs. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think we're going to change that.
But you want stuff going on.
Yes, there's too much time in between action, too much time between balls in play. So what are the different levers that can be changed to get more balls in play and get the time between that happening to be shorter? And I think those are the thoughts right now are being given to what are all the different levers we can pull? How do we respect the tradition of the game, but still stay open-minded to understanding that, you know, the world is a much more shorter attention span. You know, we've got to adjust, we've got to adapt to compete with other sports, to compete with other forms of entertainment.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, my kids who, you know, can't imagine waiting and are immediately looking to do something else. And you know, so we are open-minded, and I think, you know, it's going to be a partnership. You know, the players are going to have to be on board with it, too. It's not something we can unilaterally do.
I was going to say, you're in a market here, in a competitive market. The guys down the street, the basketball team, you're in there two hours. You're in and out.
Right.
The hockey team, 2.5, 2.45. So you are, you know, when you're going to 3.5, 4, you are asking something of your customers.
I think the average Major League game, though, is still right around 3. So,
okay.
You know, the average, again, I think time is not, you can leave. I mean, the time is not, you know, what prohibits people from coming to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I think what turns people away or doesn't engage them is that the pace of it is not something that everybody, not something everybody can relate to.
The good news is there's no clock. The bad news is some nights there's no clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we
can do some things to just engage fans, you know, and keep them engaged more in the game and not feel like this is slowing down, like the guy's stepping out every pitch and, you know, we're making another pitching change.
I worked in the NHL for 5 years. We got timing memos every day.
I get them every day.
This game took 2:23.
Really?
This game,
every day?
I get them every single day.
And
tell you what, if it went to 2:27, 2:28, there was conference calls. How do you get the game quicker?
Right.
You can't, other than playoffs.
There's a tension. There's a tension being played. I think the players don't feel like it's much of an issue.
Why don't players feel it's much of an issue?
You have to ask a player. You know,
probably doesn't impact how much money they get paid, to be honest.
Well, no, they're into routine, though.
That's right.
You know, they're into what they do.
It's a very mental game.
Yeah. Well, but you also hear about, you know, shortstops like a pitcher who works quickly because then they're playing.
That's true.
Know? So,
yes. Mark, listen, we appreciate you joining us.
Good
I know the home opener.
We've got to scout where the tomato plants are going, though. We've got to find a place to put the tomato plants.
Tomato plants.
Beeston's going to take care of the garden. He's on that right now. Yeah. First, we've got to get drainage in here before we get the tomato plants. There is no drainage in anywhere in the building, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to say. Let's worry about that first. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the home opener.